So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
Good morning, folks. It's a great Monday morning, Monday, July 14th. Sorry I missed you guys on Friday. Always had the benefit of participating in a great fundraising event in memory of a young boy who passed away in a pool drowning. The family came together, created a not-for-profit charity giving swim lessons to young kids as well as life preservers for life. From the time that they're an infant all the way through and they're into their fourth or fifth year, an incredible rodeo down in Grand Isle called the Blue Boot Rodeo. And we had a lot of fun, got to fish with some friends. We won the grouper first, second, and third place, as well as the mahi. And we won the trophy for outstanding fishermen of the rodeo. So we had a great time down there this weekend. Southern Pride Charters were our host, and it was actually a good time. The Gulf of America was just steaming with fish. I mean, it was unbelievable what we saw, all the different species that we were able to catch, and had a great time. Just wanted to thank them for hosting us and memories that you'll never forget. Also want to thank members of the LSU baseball team. They were there a couple of years ago when they won a national championship for the Blue Boot Rodeo. Members of this team were there again, signing stuff for the kids. The kids were so excited to see these young men, and they were just so humble and so accommodating, spending hours on end signing all kinds of different memorabilia, offering up their cleats to be put up for auction. Big money spent getting the memorabilia as well, all for a great cause. And it was good to spend some time down there on the island with some friends. We've got a great show lined up for you today. Guy Williams, president of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust, he joins us every Monday at 12. We're going to talk about tariffs. We're going to talk about time-sensitive changes that were in the big bill. We'll talk about the National Environmental Protection Act changes and a new focus on the 10-year Treasury rate. We'll also talk about the Fed quite a bit as well. J.P. Morrell joins us at 11. A lot happened over this past week relative to the friction between the council and the administration. A lot of veto overrides. We'll talk about what's going on there. What are the next steps? We'll also talk about the passage by the council relative to a bond issue, $90 million, to pay off judgments. People have been waiting for years and years and years. In fact, I know a number of people that have judgments against the city that their businesses, you know, really kind of didn't get to where they were because they had done so much work for the city that they couldn't get out of this hole that they were in. And it's just horrible for the local economy and you know, local businesses that standing up, doing the right thing, doing good quality work for the city of New Orleans and not being paid. Then ended up having to sue the city, and then it goes all over the place. Arthur Hardy is going to join us at 10:30. And we'll talk about the most recent Mardi Gras committee meeting, what went well, what didn't, what changes can we anticipate in 2026. A lot of challenges for Mardi Gras each and every year, and it's something that we got to keep our finger on the pulse of because we want to make sure that we keep it alive and well. It brings in a lot of money to the city, a lot of fun for the city. It's a really integral part of the identity of the city as well. And I'm kind of glad to see that we're treating it like a business. And we need to cultivate a landscape where they can be successful. Because if not, we will lose a critical piece of our identity. You have to manage and massage it carefully. And we'll talk about that with Arthur Hardy and as to what his thoughts are there. Well, you know, again, a lot going on the immigration front. And a lot of folks were texting in last week asking what specifically did the reconciliation bill add to immigration enforcement. So we had an opportunity to do some research on this, and I think it's important for you to gain a better understanding of what's there. It's an all-encompassing thing, and they're putting funding in almost every silo of immigration enforcement, which is what I liked about Trump 45 when he ran the first time. It was the first time that I had seen a plan, 10 different silos, because a lot of this is interconnected, interrelated, and if you tweak one, you have to tweak others. This is, well, you could tell it was very mindful about what they did in the funding here in this bill. So $46.5 billion for border barriers and related infrastructure, such as cameras and access roads along the border. $6.1 billion for border surveillance technology, including efforts to combat drug trafficking and screen foreign nationals entering the country. A lot of the technology that's deployed at the ports of entry is old technology. It needs to be updated. $5 billion for customs and border protection facilities. $4.1 billion to hire additional CBP personnel, including Border Patrol agents and Office of Field Operations officers at the ports of entry. $2 billion for retention and performance bonuses and signing incentives for CBP personnel. One of the things that Democrats have tried to do is to try and downgrade this as an employment opportunity, make these people miserable so that they can't go out and recruit the numbers necessary. They did the same thing with police. Don't think that this is not coming back as well. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. $500 million to support state and local law enforcement efforts to track and monitor threats from unmanned aircraft systems. $450 million for Operation Stone Garden to support the cooperation between CBP and state and local law enforcement. Very important. A lot of local law enforcement agencies are willing, able and capable of assisting ICE. And they're willing to do so, and the federal government's willing to foster that relationship. Now, off the border and into the interior, $45 billion for detention, $29.8 billion for additional immigration and customs enforcement personnel and transportation and related costs for removing illegal aliens, $3.5 billion to the Department of Justice for issuing grants to state and local governments for activities to include locating and apprehending illegal aliens who have committed a crime, conducting investigations to counter gang and criminal activity, and prosecuting illegal alien crime. $3.3 billion to the DOJ for other measures, more judges, more staff, combating drug trafficking, and investigating and prosecuting immigration-related crimes. And an additional $750 million to the Department of Homeland Security for training for all of the additional folks that they bring in as a result of their recruitment opportunities that they have. Now, what has been the response? The response, quite frankly, from the Democrat side is to try and just muck up anything that they can possibly do. The Trump administration obviously recognizes that this is going to be the strategy of Democrats moving forward. The most recent ruling in Trump versus Casa as it relates to a number of the procedural issues that the Supreme Court ruled on is what the Trump administration has decided is to move forward on those cases in court, asking for reconsideration of judgments that have already been awarded by courts and otherwise in order to get it into the appellate process, to get these issues resolved, in order for the appellate courts to rule with the new Supreme Court guidance to handcuff these advocate judges throughout the country. It's a great move on the part of the DOJ. Let's force the issue. Let's get it resolved. Let's stymie these judges that are standing in the way of basically enforcing the law. The law is there. It's simply enforcing it. It's absolutely amazing. I mean, there's been a lot written about, you know, sending some of our illegals that are here that are hardened criminals to not to the country of their origin, because the country of their origin is recalcitrant. They will not take them back. They don't want them, right? That's why they sent them to us. So they want us to be stuck with them. There's always been a provision in immigration law that you could send to a third country, not the country of their origin. It's never been talked about much. Has it been utilized? Yeah, not necessarily to any great extent, but it's been utilized before. And now you have an administration that's willing to do it again, because why should we suffer the ills of a recalcitrant country of origin that doesn't want to take the worst of the worst that they sent here back? It's really interesting. Maybe we should just shut down those countries from being able to migrate here. And let's just call it a day. And that way we don't have to deal with this any longer. Because this is absolute craziness, what's going on when you let in so many unchecked, no verification, don't know who they are, don't know where they're from, don't know their life history, don't know anything. We just leave them in, and then we have to suffer the financial consequences of all of this. Meanwhile, we're trying to save Social Security, we're trying to save Medicaid, we're trying to save Medicare. We got to get smart. And look, this situation is not going to save those programs. It is going to take the collective effort of every silo, every bucket of money in this country that we can trim in order to save those three programs. Every single one. I love these people in Congress that are critical of folks that talk about this. Oh, well, that's only $700 billion. That's not going to solve that problem. That problem is a multi-trillion dollar problem. Well, but $700 billion may not be a bad start, right? Let's go see what else we can do. Like the local person the other day who was all upset because as a result of the big, beautiful bill passing, it looked like that their tennis court might not be funded by the federal government. I've said this a couple of times already on this show. Why would the federal government be funding a tennis court? That seems to be a local issue to me. I would say the same thing about the state of Louisiana. Why are they funding a tennis court? A singular tennis court? Really? But when, you know, once you get on that train where the federal government, state government is going to start financing and funding everything at a local level, it's hard to get off. I know, I was there. I made those same decisions. We got federal grants. We got state grants. We got it all. And many times I reminded my peers throughout the years of my service, there will be a day of reckoning. And unless we think out of the box and we become more disciplined in the way that we spend, the way that we collect, and so forth, that day of reckoning is going to be a very difficult day for state and local government. That day of reckoning is fast coming. With a $36 trillion debt that we have and growing, by the day, it's going to get worse. And it's one of the reasons why I keep talking about immigration. Not because I don't like immigrants, but because we don't need more wards of the state or the federal government. It exacerbates our problem. It makes it absolutely worse. We need to start putting vestiges of economic credentialing in this matrix, or we will never come out from under the debt structure that we have. It's impossible. It's one of those buckets that we have to deal with. Meanwhile, well, we could be the beneficiary of this, and we are already. I mean, you saw how few crossings there are without reformation of immigration. Basically, what that meant was that Democrats didn't want to reform unless there was reform that inured to their ideology. They didn't want enforcement is what they didn't want. They wanted to reform around enforcement. They wanted to be softer. They wanted to there not be any rules. They thought that they could incentivize people to not come here for however. We were going to go and invest all kinds of dollars in these countries, your dollars, and think that we were going to create a construct, a culture, and a landscape overnight that they weren't going to come to the border any longer. Really? A lot of these countries are the most corrupt countries in the world. And we think that we're going to send money there that's going to be appropriately spent? That's pretty rich, coming from a country that we continue to have a problem on setting priorities ourselves. But we're going to go give them a pot of money that's out of the ordinary for them and think that they're going to do the right thing. Meanwhile, back at the farm, right, literally, the weed farm, the Democrats are going off the rails. Why are they going off the rails about this? The Border Patrol, the ICE agents, and all that participated, locals and everything, they had warrants. They had criminal warrants for these people. We had a U.S. congressman showing up wanting to do his oversight. Congressman Salud Carbajal wanted to do his oversight in the middle of this while the peaceful people there protesting were throwing rocks at the immigration vans as they took out over 300 illegals, to include many kids, and some of those that they took out with a record of child molestation on a marijuana farm. We have members of the media defending those that are working there, those that have criminal records, and chastising the federal government for going there, and they didn't even know that they had warrants. We have judges that are trying to say that, you know, to impose all kinds of provisions or conditions upon an arrest by ICE, violative of the law. They want more. Why is that? What is going on here that really is rubbing everybody the wrong way, one has to ask. First, it was, well, that's a civil violation. Then you get a criminal warrant, and it's okay to throw rocks at the officers. And Representative Carbajal is talking about, this guy is so clueless. He asks about, who do I need to talk to about this particular operation? The ICE folks give him a business card and said, this is my business card. You can say you talk to me, and if you contact the Los Angeles field office, they will get you to the right person who is in charge of this particular field operation. What does he do? He gives the business card to the protesters who were throwing rocks at the agents, and a number of agents were injured. He thinks that this is a peaceful protest. He goes on the news and says that it was. He says this was overkill. They had 50 agents there. Well, they were there with warrants to arrest a bunch of people. They arrested over 300. The only reason this turned out to be a shit show was because you and others went on to social networks identifying an operation somewhere, begging people to come out there to protest, and it goes to hell in a handbasket, and you want to blame ICE. And you want to do your oversight at that point in time? That's the time that you choose to do oversight? No, that's not the time. He goes on to say, they looked like they were having fun, dressing up like they were in the military. I'm guessing that half of them had ever served. Why is that important to you? Do you hate these people so much that you're now going to start attacking these officers? They don't choose the uniform that they wear. Oh, and by the way, let me remind you, Congressman Carbajal, that's the same uniform that they wore when Joe Biden was the president. Where were you then? Why wasn't that a problem? Where were you then when the Biden administration was bragging about the operations that they were doing, trying to save their political ass at the same time? Where were you? You know where you are? Nowhere to be found. Because that was your party. It's not about the country. It's about beating up on the party. They were dressed the same way in the Biden administration. Not a peep from a single solitary Democrat. Pretty ripe where we are today. And if you don't think that this is not going to come full circle right back to police again, you're sadly mistaken. That's why I read what the bill provides for in funding, because you're going to see a lot more cooperation with state and local and immigration. And guess what? Everybody's going to be thrown into the basket of deplorables all over again. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
We'll be right back. Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Arthur Hardy, who was with the Times-Picayune or NOLA.com and publisher of the Mardi Gras Guide. Arthur, welcome to the show.
Good Monday morning, Lou. How you doing, brother?
Doing well, man. So we had the Mardi Gras committee meeting the other day. You and I talked about this a lot, that we needed to treat Mardi Gras more as a business and have a very business approach to this. It seems as though a lot of the topics that they're dealing with now, it falls in line with what you've been talking about for years.
Well, yes, and to JP's credit, he's trying to lend some structure to some things that have just been kind of hanging out there for years. Two really important things. There are many people who think they want to start a Mardi Gras group and want to get a permit in New Orleans, which is, you know, let's face it, it's Mardi Gras Central. But what is the process? There's supposedly a waiting list of about five or six organizations that have applied for permits. I've never seen the list. No one in the media that I know of has seen the list. I'm on the mayor's Mardi Gras task force. We've never seen the list. Who? Jay? An opening, and we need it. But we need one for the amount of business for somebody to come in. That there's a process. We don't just hand out bread permits. That you know, you have to qualify by some means. We're not sure what that is, but I'm really happy he's doing this. Jefferson Parish has had some problems with giving permits to people that wind up not parading. It's up to wind up 3 days before. and it's done with the best intentions, but there needs to be some criteria, and JP's on that, and I congratulate him for it.
Well, you know, not like any other business, you have to be properly capitalized, and it seems to me that we really haven't done much due diligence on that front before we give out something that's pretty valuable, a parade permit.
I would think of it as an SBA loan. You know, you have to vet that process, that candidate. Yeah, you got an idea, but, you know, where's the money coming from? How many members do you have? Do you have a contract with the local? You know, the minimum requires in New Orleans, even the smallest parade, is to have 7 bands. Well, can you get them? Are they available that night? You know, they're just so many pieces. But you're right, it's a business. It's a business about fun, but it's serious business. And but the point may be moved. We don't have any permits to give out our leaves right now. There's a lot of talk about OSHA and perhaps losing a permit, but I'm betting that situation's going to resolve itself. They're being sued by their float builder for alleged lack of payment. And, you know, you got to pay your bills. So I'm betting something's going to be worked out so there won't even be a permit available this year.
Arthur, one of the things that they talked about at the meeting was the serpentine traffic flow along St. Charles Avenue. We broadcast from New Orleans and Company on St. Charles Avenue, and we're able to see that in process, able to see it working. For me, it seemed as though, you know, you used to get a lot of people that just wanted to go sightseeing on that side of St. Charles Avenue. They weren't there for any particular reason of dropping people off, just, you know, rolling along. And it seemed that this worked. One reason, I think, is it eliminated a lot of those folks because it wasn't easy to get through through that serpentine. You had to have, it seemed to me, a good reason to be there. Your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I think this is a good move, and I believe it's going to be permanent. Again, it's all about safety. One other thing I want to mention, that it's going to fly beneath the radar, but I think it's really important. You know, we've got about 8 or 9 preseason, quote-unquote, alternative crews like Chewbacca's and Dabu and Joan of Arc and all. And because these are technically not, quote-unquote, Mardi Gras parades, because they don't fall in the 12-day window before that Tuesday, they're treated differently. And in my opinion, not treated very well. And part of the reason is that NLPD is not required to handle those parades. They are patrolled by off-duty policemen. Well, the problem with that is sometimes these crews, up until the week before the parade, don't know how many cops they're going to have on the route, so they don't know the length they're up. So if you're a businessman and you got Johnny's Bar and you buy 32 extra cases of Budweiser and find out, oops, the parade's not going here, why didn't you tell me that a month ago? It's a real issue. So JP wants to put in some deadlines and guidelines for you. You have to know a couple of months out when and where you're going to parade. And it's about time, because these groups don't compete with, you know, real parades. They draw big audiences. That's a way to do. But they've not been treated well. So I'm really happy to see this, because these are good folks. This is what Mardi Gras is about. It's something for everybody, right?
Absolutely, and the city has a vested interest, right? I mean, one way that we're able to provide these services is collection of sales taxes, so it makes sense to notify businesses. You want to create a landscape there where they're going to be very, very successful, because the more successful they are, the more sales taxes you collect to help defray the cost of managing a lot of what goes on in and around Mardi Gras.
Yeah, no, it's a win-win. You know, there's a constitutional issue here about parades being expressions of free speech, and it's not a challenge in the courts, but if it ever is, you know, how can, and I'm just going to name a group, let's say Mid-City, which is a small 14-foot parade, be charged $750 to parade because it's underwritten by the city, and the group Chewbacca's maybe paid $3,000 to parade. You know, it almost sets up two different classifications of citizens. And the question can be, can you legally do that? Can you charge one group less than another? And I'm not quite sure what the answer is, office and even wants to know what the answer is.
Well, probably so. One, if you fall into one category of being a parade as opposed to a non-parade, there's already a distinction to be had. Any other? There was some conversations about walking groups in front of parades and interjected into parade. Where do you think that's going?
Well, the parades are too long, especially if you have a double or triple ladder. And much of what makes them long is the units in front of the parade. So it's in the ordinance that you can't have any more than 12 units in front of the first float, but not all organizations are following the ordinance. So I think it's more about enforcement than new rules, really. It's an embarrassment of riches, though, and that's why you have some parades ending at 1 in the morning, because there's so much stuff in each parade. So in this case, I think less is more. And if the crews don't voluntarily, or even not voluntarily, if they don't follow the rules, the city's going to have to step in and do something, maybe not to the crew's liking. So, I hate to see government-run private businesses, but sometimes we bring regulations on ourselves by not being good citizens.
Yeah, the NOPD in the staging area, I know we did this in JP when I was sheriff. If you're on, there's a roster that was given to us in advance of the parade. If you're on it, you get on the parade route. If you're not on it, you don't. No ticky, no laundry. Plain and simple.
Yeah, but in many cases, these groups are listed on the parade lineup, but nobody's checked to say, wait, you've got 20 units in front of your first one. Somebody's got to go. But we should know that in advance.
Well, that was the point of getting it early, the lineup, because, the reality is we would look at it, it's got some of the same rules. You got too many. This isn't going to work. You need another plan, because this plan's not acceptable.
Exactly. But I think we're going to have a good Mardi Gras early this year, February 17th, earlier than last year. And we don't have the Super Bowl, which sucked all the air out of everything. So I think it's going to be a regular Mardi Gras. Regular is plenty fun with me.
A lot of fun for sure. Always, we ride every year in the crew of Orpheus. We have a blast. It's a really great time and truly enjoy it for sure. Arthur, as always, it's a pleasure to talk with you. Stay safe, my friend.
Thanks, man.
That's Arthur Harder, publisher of the Mardi Gras Guide. We will be right back, 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
With us. You know what's interesting is number of texts coming in, folks complaining about the fact that I'm defending ICE agents, Border Patrol agents, and the like. I'm defending their operations. I'm defending the fact that they got criminal warrants to go out there, and I'm critical of those who are critical of ICE for enforcing the laws that are on the books. How does that work? How did we get to this? And the defense is that Trump pardoned some J6 folks, which I did not think was a good idea. And I said that. And I've said a lot about Donald Trump in the past, about putting him in the rearview mirror. These policies are really not about Donald Trump. These policies are about whoever holds the office of presidency, who's ever in the Congress at the time. The judges on the courts making decisions about these laws. We now have judges that want to interject their personal feelings into what they feel the law ought to be. Really? Well, that's not your role. Not at all. I like to point out the obvious. Then I have those that are texting in wanting to say, let's talk about Epstein. Well, what about it? It's all conjecture. You don't really know a whole lot because they haven't released a whole lot of information. So as this begins to develop and the information will begin to reveal itself, because now you have Republicans upset about things that were done by Republicans, I suspect in the coming 30 days, we're going to know a lot more about the interaction amongst cabinet members and other things, to include Pam Bondi, because her name keeps coming up, and rightfully so. She released some of this information to influencers. Why you would do that, I have no idea. I mean, that's about as idiotic as it gets. But I guess that's the new way of handling the media today. Because, you know, the media is not the media on so many different fronts. This is what happens when everyone steps outside of their traditional roles and start to become advocates for parties instead of policy. So I wait. And you should know if you listen to this show that I wait. Unless I have personal experience, information available to me that I know is good, sound information that I talk about. So in the world of immigration, I sat on Homeland Security national committees. I know a lot about it. I know what I did when I was sheriff. I know how these operations flow. And then there's the people that say, well, ICE didn't used to wear masks. No, well, they didn't used to get doxxed either. They didn't have people showing up at their kids' schools, getting aggressive with them and trying to embarrass their families because their father or mother happens to work for ICE. That didn't typically happen either. So the byproduct of that is they're not wearing name tags, and they're wearing masks because they don't want their pictures all over the social networks and then people out there doxing them and their families and others. It's an officer safety issue. And then you have members of Congress who believe that this is all okay, and then that makes the crazies out there feel even better about it. So, and then they, you know, folks are sending in, well, were these ICE warrants, quote, criminal warrants? Yeah, ICE does have criminal authority. And the most recent reporting is at that marijuana farm, they had criminal warrants for individuals that they had identified that were in the court system for one reason or another, and they were able to get a judge to sign off on a criminal warrant to go out and get and arrest them. But be that as it may, the moment that we have people throwing rocks at officers trying to make arrests, we are beginning to lose control of how this works in this country. And you know as well as I what's going to happen. People are going to get hurt. Then you're going to really get upset. We'll be right back.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.